Okay? Men who have succeeded or are succeeding. Let me not use the word have succeeded. That's a very bad thing to say, all right? Who are succeeding. Success is a process. You know, it never ends. It never ends, all right? So they are working in a realm of success that must continue to increase. Your success 10 years ago cannot be what they are talking about today. These two men, one is a Nigerian, one is not a Nigerian. Okay, there's a third one also, who I've also heard of. It's an American. These men, they handle everything with prayer. I want to bring out the issue that they have opposition. Go and read the story of Strive that I mentioned the other time. You will see they want a license. There's a problem. They go and pray. Are you getting my point? They want permit for something. There's somebody's giving them issues. They may be in Zimbabwe there, negotiating with the government. But the boys are in South Africa, okay? And they're having a prayer chain. And they are declaring the word of God. I know a man in this town, the same thing he does. Tomorrow I'm supposed to have a meeting with the villagers and to discuss some land matters. So you guys in the office, you will pray today. Tomorrow we are going to go and discuss. But today, what are you doing? You are praying. Please listen, this is what Christianity is. This is what Christianity is. We succeed by the grace of God. And is that prayer I'm talking about? How do we do it? He said, you will, with these prophecies, war a good warfare. The words you have heard are not meant to just give you information you sit down at home. No, you take them and then they become the way you fire your day. Before you get up in the morning, before you leave your house, you speak to that day. The day has ears. I hope you are getting my point. The day has ears. What you will do that day has ears. You will speak words that, listen, today, favor will follow me. I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. That's just a word. I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. That is, favor will defend me. That's what a shield is. Maybe you're supposed to have a discussion with a very powerful man because God gives people authority. And you hear that the man is tough, difficult to see. You say, listen, God surrounds me with favor as with a shield. You are in your house, you have not gone out. But you are speaking the word of God. I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. I am surrounded with favor as with a shield. Listen, the time people spend making phone calls, you don't use your time to make phone calls. You spend your time making prophetic calls. I hope you're getting my point. That's how Christians overcome in life. Let me just digress. You want to counsel a student or you're a student? This is a subject is difficult. How can you tell me a subject is difficult? What I tell students, all right? Even when I was in school, I was fellowship president, so I had to preach and encourage the other students like me. I kept on saying, if you're an undergraduate, your courses are undergraduate courses. For that reason, you can know it, you can understand it. So speak to your book. Tell the book, open to me. I have the spirit of Daniel. I hope you are getting what I'm going to say here. That's what I mean by warring a good warfare. That's how Christians succeed. Unfortunately, the world has taught us all kinds of methods. There's a book I have in the house. I saw it with somebody, so I bought it off him. How to Master Your Memory or something like that. I'm not saying it's bad. But that is not how we master memory. You find that you're always forgetful. In fact, that's the one you should attack with prayer. Why am I always forgetting? Why am I always forgetting? Am I not blessed in and out? Am I not the head and not the tail? When you declare words like that, listen, you know, what happens in life is that, you see, you know, when I was in secondary school, right? I was a science student. And I remember the day we did add maths, you know, additional mathematics exam. Now, where I'm going is this, how words are very powerful. How words are very powerful. In fact, if I write now, you will say, doctor's handwriting. You know, my handwriting is not good, okay? But actually, it's not because I'm a doctor. I learned that bad habit in secondary school. And you know what happened? They told me that brilliant students have bad handwritings. That's all. Listen. I was taught in primary school to write by a man, okay, who was taught by white people. I hope you're getting my point. They came out of the British era. That was the man who was in charge of our school, all right? It was a private school. Now, the man will inspect how you write your cursive, you know, cursive. Yes. The man will teach you how to write, and I learned to write cursive. But when I got to secondary school, I was a science student, and science students were supposed to have bad handwritings. Good handwritings are for those who don't know much. So I discombobulated my handwriting. And that was it. I never recovered it again. The few times, one day, I was writing when I was in school. Before the days of phone and emails and all of that. So my friend Chuk said, "Ah, Panky, is that your handwriting?" I said, "I'm writing my mother." He said, "Oh, no wonder." That is... I took time, I had to slow down. Because the boy looks at, "Banky, is that you?" I said, "Oh boy, now so there was a time I was like this regularly." What I'm saying is that words just ended it for me. The same manner, you know, when we were doing admas then, in my whole school, we were only six that came for the exam. And I remember everybody just talked that it was tough. And we even felt cool just walking in. Your question about one, Avega, I don't know this question. I know, later, of course, I passed it, but not very well. I don't have the grade now, but I had a C6 then. I don't have the grade now. But, you know, the thing is that all of it was just because of the, you know, the youth environment, young boys, teenagers, just deceiving themselves. And listen, if I listened to one of my friends and not listened to the other, I would have had a similar problem in physics. Within physics, I have what you call SS1 now. Then it was from 4. First term, all of us, we did not pass. Second term, we did not pass. Now, I had a friend. He ended up becoming he studied banking and finance later. I had another one, became an engineer. That one came to me one day and said, "Look, what kind of thing is this one? Why should we be doing this subject and not pass? That subject is hard. Like, he's dropping physics. We're in senior class where you had to streamline what you wanted to do." I remember, and this was my closest friend. He was dropping physics. Like, why? So I went to meet this other guy. I said, "Ah, yeah, Mr. Have you heard? This guy says he's dropping physics." And he gave me a word, like a prophetic word. He said, "Our teacher, does he have two heads?" I remember very well. He said, "The man teaching it, did you see two heads on his head?" I said, "Oh, that's true. He doesn't have two heads. Oh, so one head is all you require." Do you know from that third term till we finished SSC, we passed consistently. I became a doctor, the other guy became an engineer. If we had listened to the other fellow, we would not have done physics. I'm just making an illustration of how you use words to fight. I'm looking at something here. You know what Satan does? Every day. That's why I told the story. This is how he weakens people, weakens their ability. Listen, your children, speak to them every day. No matter how badly they are doing, make sure your words are always positive. Correct them, but end with positive words. You can do it. I don't want to hear you say you didn't do it. You didn't finish your homework, you must finish it. Because I know you can do it. Stop being lazy. Can you see? The words are, you're correcting, but the words are actually constructive. Stop being lazy. That's an instruction. It's an empowerment. It's a prophetic ordinance. Stop being lazy. The body will stop laziness. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not, "You're a lazy boy. You're a lazy boy. You're always lazy." The boy says, "Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen." You have to know how to fine-tune your words, though. You tell the boy, "Stop being lazy." You heard me? So, just imagine that your children are saying amen to all you are saying. Just imagine it. And that the spirits are saying amen to the things you are saying on their behalf. I don't know what I'm going to do with this boy. It's going to put me in trouble. Just imagine somebody said amen to it. You think you are trying to stop the trouble. No, you are activating the trouble. It's better to say, "Listen, you will not put me in trouble. Amen. This your misbehavior will not stand. Amen. This your laziness will not be established. Amen." You see what I'm trying to say? Now get up and go and finish your work. Amen. Don't worry, you will do better next time. This is a child who has failed. Just imagine somebody is already saying, "Amen." I'm talking about how to do warfare with prophetic words. Paul wrote to Timothy here. He said that gift is already inside you. Prophecies were given concerning you, and you're supposed to use the prophecies to fight a good fight. I was saying earlier, listen, truly in life, there are obstacles. There are troubles. There are people who will not do business in a country like ours because of certain obstacles. And I want you to understand all of them can be surmounted. Multiple taxation can be surmounted. Lack of constant power can be surmounted. What Christians need to do is know how to do their warfare, which is with prophecies. You are doing a project, you are doing your business in an area where the local government people like to terrorize and harass and disturb. Sit down, look at the laws. If they are breaking the laws, that one is even easier. You quickly judge them before God. If the laws are on their side, but they are unfair laws, you still go to God and say, Lord, these laws are not fair. I hope you are getting my point. No, don't react like Israelites that want to perish in the wilderness. So that's the problem with Nigeria. You can't do business because, just imagine that somebody is saying amen to all you are saying. You can't do business because of multiple taxation. You can't do business because of power failure. You can't do business because of, you can't do business. You know, you keep on prophesying. That's why we fail. God says there are problems I know. I said do warfare with prophecy. And let me say another thing. There is nothing that exists as a challenge that God has not spoken a word concerning. And the word he spoke, he said, that is the foundation for prayer. We make a mistake in Christianity. A lot of our prayers are founded on wishes rather than on prophecies. What I mean is this. I need a new car, so we're going to pray. Let's begin to command and ask for a new car. Then tomorrow, we need a new, we need money. We're always praying based on need. Prayers based on need. Mentioning needs should be minimal. I'm not saying they're totally wrong, but they should be minimal. Prayers should be primarily based on prophetic words that we have already discovered. I'll give an example. You know my favorite scripture. So we don't have money. We don't have material resources around. We don't just go and say, look, we need money, we need money. But Jesus said he knows you need them already. So what information have you given now that's added to the bank of, you know, digits in heaven? What are you supposed to say? What has he said concerning the time that people need money? Then scriptures start popping to your head. Lord, you have said, you will cause prosperity to flow towards me like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. In this my business, this my endeavor, I declare the word of God over it. ABC XYZ Company, hear the word of the Lord. Prosperity will flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. He said, his seed will be mighty on the earth. You are my seed. You are something I am producing. You will be mighty on the earth. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. Every mouth that rises against you in judgment, I hereby condemn. That's prophetic praying. People gather together and say, in this market, we will run you out of business. And it happens. They can say, you know, overtly or subtly. You go back home again. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. You begin to declare, say, Father God, if they gather, it is not because of you. Anyone that gathers against me will scatter because of me. In the name of Jesus, their conspiracy will scatter. Prophetic prayer. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Governments will be changed for your sake. Laws will be rewritten to favor you. I like the testimony of Tunde Bakare. Beautiful testimony. He was a young lawyer. And Pastor E. Adeboye was in church. They raised money for this today. Asked money for piano tomorrow. Money to complete the roof the next day. So he came and said, sir, this is not good. Pray that God will bless me. And you will never have to make this announcement again. So the man prayed for him. And that, I don't know whether the following week, he got to work and they fired him. I heard the testimony from his mouth. Watching him preach. They fired him. So he went back to the church and said, sir, like you didn't aim that prayer correctly. The grenade detonated in the wrong place. He said, sir, I told you to pray that I should be blessed, but something has happened though. What happened? I got to work, I was fired. He said, Pastor, yeah, the boy started laughing. He said, the man laughed. He said, I felt like shooting him. I was sitting there and just prayed that I would be blessed. You prayed, I was sacked, and you are laughing. I don't know whether you get my point. And if he's sorry for me and say, ah, my son, it shall be well. All things work together for good. You didn't say anything like that, though. He said, I'm laughing. So he looked at the man and said, sir, what is funny? And the man said, listen, the kind of money you are praying for cannot be paid as salaries. What am I supposed to do? He said, go and start your own, he's a lawyer, go and start your own chambers, go and start your own business. He said, sir, it's like you don't understand. The law in Nigeria, by the number of years of experience I have, I am not allowed to own a private practice. The law is as a professional of that years of number of experience in years, I have to be under somebody else. I can't start my own business. Pastor Yedipo said, well, I don't know. That's the only thing I have to tell you. Go home. He said he got home. I don't know how many days afterwards. He turned on the TV, watching network news. He heard that the decree that said people like him cannot stand on their own as a practitioner had just been abrogated. Who's telling you that they didn't rewrite the laws because of him? Of course, after that's it. He went into business for himself. And the first job he got, they paid him what was 2 years' salary. In one instance, they paid him what previously was 2 years' salary. I hope I get what I'm going to say. That is the advantage believers have, the ability to pray. I told the story of David Green, some of the people I was referring to earlier. David Green is the reason why you have YouVersion Bible on your tab, on your phone. Barack Obama and his policy say you have to pay for contraception and abortion as part of your health care for your staff, even though he doesn't believe in those kind of things. He said, I will not pay because I run my business on biblical principles. And the law of America cannot make me change my mind. They said the fine will start counting, assuming I'm not giving the correct date, but assuming 1st of November, all right? We're in November now, okay? Hobby Lobby is the name of the company of David Green. David Green said, I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay it. They said, you don't pay it, you start paying the fine. And he said, the fine will cripple, it was a daily basis, something like that. The fine was going to cripple them within a few months. It's a company worth about $2 billion. They were going to be paying, I've forgotten how many millions, every few days. But the man was determined he's not going to pay. That this runs against my conscience. It's a privately held company. The government cannot make me do this. He went to the first court, he lost. Next day, appeal court was going to hear the case. Just to stop the fines first, why didn't iron out everything? The night before, he gathered his family and their friends, talked to everybody, please pray with us. Don't think the decision, because these are satanic motions. You must get the point. These are satanic motions. So when the brethren gathered and they prayed, next day they went to court. To everybody's surprise, the justices ruled in their favor. He personally appealed it to Supreme Court. I don't know whether you get the point. You win a case and you still appeal it yourself. This is my own interpretation. He said the atmosphere is hot. The spiritual motion is strong. This is a time to finish this thing. Let us strike them. Oh God. Derek Prince, if you go and listen to aggressive prayer by Derek Prince, he will say that you have to strike the Syrians until they are no more. So he decided to strike and strike. So he went to Supreme Court, and Supreme Court again ruled in his favor, and he settled it permanently. That would have ruined the company in just a few months. But this man kept the company going because he learned how to pray. I hope you're getting my point. Listen, believers, you call resources into your business with prayer. There are things that cannot be taught in business books. That's what we are teaching. They can't be taught in business schools, in business books. The business book won't tell you how to. Listen, it can tell you how to negotiate and to meet people. But there is a man that God has sent. There's a woman that God said will help you. You have never met. You don't know the person. But the word works. You know, I keep on saying it. When I say the word works, listen, it's not a principle that works. The word is not a principle. Please, I hope you're getting my point. The word of God is not a principle. The word of God is a living thing. It means it can respond to situations. It can think. It means it can act. The word will go, wake somebody up and say, you, go and help that young man. You, go and help that young woman. That is the word. The word becomes flesh. It's not only when Jesus was born. No. The word is still becoming flesh till today. The word is still becoming flesh till today. The word becomes flesh. It gets up and it says, listen, I was reading the Deuteronomy the other day. Beautiful illustration for this again. He went into a business that God did not send him into. And he was losing money, hemorrhaging badly on a daily basis. He was going to be wiped out of business entirely in just a month or two. He now went and prayed. And the Lord now said to him, you know, the Holy Spirit revealed to him that you are doing a business I did not send you into. He said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm going to pull out. But please, send me, somebody needs to buy me out. You know, he started a milling business, storage of grain and all of that. I need somebody to buy me out. He said, he quickly looked around. He was alone, but out of embarrassment, he looked around whether anybody was listening. He said, God, please, can a person give me a good price? One man was sleeping. And suddenly, he was woken up at night. And the Lord spoke to him, I want you in the morning to call Demas and offer to buy his milling business. Did you hear what I said? Nobody can teach you that in the business school. The man woke up next day, put a phone call through to Demas Shakarian's father, and said, I want to buy your business. They were like, how did you know we wanted to sell it? Because of time, let me stop the story there. The Holy Spirit woke the man up at night and said, go and buy that guy out of that business. And you know, the business was losing money on a daily basis. But by the time he laid hands on it, the thing began to make money. This is our spiritual. These are things that cannot be taught in a business school. That is why there's something my wife does once in a while. You know, my wife sells things. Some those of you know her. The other day she look at her store and say, this is you have been here for a long time. Let us talk. You now go to them and start laying, literally laying hands. You go in the name of Jesus. Begin to sell. Begin to move. And this, ask her, this is not a joke. Literally over the next few days, phone will start ringing. And madam, please, do you have this? We'd like to get, that's it. Literally, the phone will start buzzing. And people will start calling. People used to say that business is slow in January. Remember that? Have you remember that? You heard that thing before? So business is slow in January. Was it 2 years ago or so? Or is it? Hey, this is not this January they are talking about. They say business is slow. She just opened her books that I should see. And this is just phone calls. Somebody calls. Somebody calls. Somebody calls. Listen, Christians. Use your advantage. You don't need Lagos Business School. Are you getting my point? You don't need Harvard Business School for these things. There are things they can't teach. The problem. The problem with Christians is that we have become worldly. We think worldliness is the kind of skirt we wear or the kind of shirt we wear. Worldliness is when we start thinking that the world's way of success is the way by which people will succeed. Worldliness is when a Christian still thinks that if I don't get a Harvard MBA, I won't break through. Let me tell you how to get a spiritual MBA. I'm very serious about it. I'm not joking. You know, some people, you know why God made you broke? Or made some things impossible for you. All your friends were going abroad. You finished school. You were working. You were earning well. All of them were saving their money. But you, God made sure that your cousin was still in school. Your brother was still in school. Everybody in your family, they were sapping your money. All your friends now went abroad. They went and got MBA. They went and got that. Let me just give you the reason why you could not go. Do you know why? You were thinking that is a way to get, you know, advancement in this your maybe this business career, you know. Yeah, maybe you're a banker, you work for a stockbroking firm, you want to go into big business. And God said, listen, boy, I want to ensure that you don't give my glory to another. Do you hear what I said? God said, my glory, I don't want you to give it to another. Now, this is something about being a believer. You know, being a believer is a dangerous game. In quote. Yeah, it's a dangerous game. If you don't want, don't leave Egypt. Stay in Egypt. But once you leave Egypt, either you die in the wilderness. If you don't want to die in the wilderness, just enter the promised land, JJ. Now, to enter the promised land is the interesting part. You will see giants. You will see troubles. And you must still enter. I'm trying to say something here. Listen, if you don't want to die, no, listen. Many Christians will be poor in their lives simply because they gave their lives to Christ. And this is the reason. God said, see, you have left the world now. You have to use divine method to get there. If you don't use 100%, you get nothing. That's why as a believer, please take all the nonsense that life will give you while you're obeying the word of God. I don't know whether you get my point. Don't run away from pain and use worldly method to deliver yourself, because you will be ruined in life, and that one without remedy. I'm serious. As believers, you must gather these things, everything we're talking about, and use it. The problem is that, you see, there's a release of divine power that we need to understand. He said, it's the amount of thought, and how did that scripture say again? Okay, Mark chapter 4. The Lord said to them, Mark chapter 4, verse 24. He said, be careful what you are hearing. He said, the measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Now, please, what my emphasis here is when he said the measure of what? Thought and study. Now, what I'm bringing out here is this. Let me summarize it. The measure of dedication we give to the truth of God we have heard is what will decide how far we will go with God in this our lives. How do I succeed? I'm talking about the power of activating grace by prayer. People will go to school, they want an MBA, they will read and read and read and read. And read and read and read. They will not sleep. They want to advance their career, they will read and read and read. Let me ask you a question. How often, as a believer, have you said, look, I need to do a 1-year spiritual MBA? I don't know whether you're getting my point. That it is 1 hour minimum, 6 days minimum a week of bringing out scriptures that empower me to succeed, contemplating them and declaring them on a daily basis. If you are doing an MBA, you will read your book, you will do assignment. Do this assignment. Say, what has it said about getting, what are the spiritual technologies for getting investments for my business? What are the spiritual technologies? In fact, you know what? When I wrote that, I don't know how many of you saw that, there's a seller, I do what I call seller moments. Some of you may have received it. And while I'm just sitting down, a thought just comes to my mind, and I start typing on my phone. So when I finish, I normally send it out as chats, and then to some email, to my brethren email group, then now I send to Kingdom World email group. When I send something out, one of my friends in our mailing group, he replied me. He quoted Strive Masiyiwa for me, this same Strive man we're talking about. And the man said he used spiritual technology to raise $1.5 billion. That he used prayer to call it in to invest in business. So when my friend received, he had read that man's story. So he sent it to me. He said, look, this was what this guy said. That listen, he used prayer to raise $1 billion to buy Econet shares. Good. Let me see whether I can quickly. Now listen to this. I want to read what my friend Topsy said. When he got that this thing, what I wrote in that spiritual, my stellar moment, I asked a question, say, money is good? It's a question. Now, what was I saying by it? I used to say something once in a while. Maybe it was something like this. I see powerful cameras recording clear things and all of that. My wife can testify. People like Bishop, they can. I say, man, money is good, though. That when you have money, you'll buy this kind of cameras. You see those cameras that CNN uses? They are $50,000 for one. When you see them, the first day I saw it, I closed the webpage, sharp, sharp, lest a man be tempted. But my brother, those ones, if that's what we're using for recording, I will be shaving very well every day because every strand of hair will show clearly. There are some that are not even that expensive, but they are just good. This is good of like $10,000. So you see things like that. So I say, hey, money is good, though. There's a way we can transform this place. You come next time, you want to come and check whether you went to heaven. Now, because of that, we make statements like, oh, money is good, though. So, when I say it, look, money is good. The Holy Spirit didn't like me saying it. There's a way I used to know it. Now I say God is good. I don't say money is good again. No matter what you tell me, I just say God is good. Because money is not good. It is God that produces. He can use money, he can use other methods. It is the amount of faith you have that decides what comes to you. I don't have time to teach that now. But this is what my friend now said. That's what he read. He said, listen to this. He said, Pastor Banky, so true. Here is my take. The purchasing power of any amount of money, e.g. $1 trillion, cannot be compared with the value of the substance within the believer. Because that substance is the very essence of the person of Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of God. It created the world and money and all value. It is already within the child of God. So the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. It said the glory of this world cannot be compared to the glory that should be revealed in us. And so on. That's how he wrote and so on. Maybe me talk and so on. I ain't writing like that. And so on. He said there are levels. Now this is what my friend wrote. He said there are levels of transaction that are far beyond the capacity of money that a man who is versed in the transaction of the Spirit can handle very easily. He said, healing is a good example. He said, Strive Masiyiwa said once that a person with this asset, this is Strive now preaching. I am paraphrasing him to reflect my understanding of what he actually said. He said, a person with this asset can raise any amount of money needed for business. He said, he himself raised $1.5 billion for the purchase of shares of Econet from other stockholders. That Strive said, I used the power of the Spirit to get $1.5 billion to buy the rest of Econet shares from other people. He said, so wherein lies the difficulty? My friend was writing. All that wealth on the inside requires a transaction mechanism called faith to materialize. The degree to which a person understands and practices the science and the art of faith is the degree to which they can transact with the wealth already on the inside. So we should be learning faith with as much and more effort as we try to make money. For faith is the victory. But when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? He now added with it, Selah. The degree of thought and study you give to the things you are hearing. I'm giving you an assignment. If you're a businessman, go and get your spiritual MBA. Get your spiritual MBA. Maybe on Saturday, I'll go into talking about righteousness, reading from Psalm 18. You will settle down and bring forth your principles of righteousness. Forget all this one they are teaching in MIT, teaching in Harvard, teaching in Lagos Business School, teaching in Esut Business School. Forget it. Mary Kay is a case study in Harvard Business School. The woman did not go to a business school. Henry Ford was written as the greatest entrepreneur of all time by an American university. He did not go to a business school. They settled down and studied these people. What Christians need? I like what Ajay Letourneau said. Ajay Letourneau said, if I understood accounting, I would not have been successful. Because I did everything that was senseless, money-wise. When he looked back, he said, my God, I did that. Thank God I did not know it was bad. Listen, the problem is that we don't activate that power. That's what I'm trying to explain. We don't. We make calls, we network, we beg, we call people, we look for extra MBA degrees. Settle down and say, this year, I'm taking my spiritual MBA. What does it mean? What are the scriptures on righteousness? What is the wisdom for my salvation? What did God say about getting the victory when there is opposition? How do I prepare for economic downturn? Should it catch me by surprise? If it will not catch me by surprise, how do I do it? And these things are real spiritual technologies. I hope you're getting my point. There are living, oh God, in the world, in all these school business things, they learn the right things down that are dead on paper. Principles that other men used before. But the word of God is alive. It will tell you, Joseph, 8 years of abundance is coming. But don't worry, there will not be that degree of famine after it. I don't want any special preparations. I don't know whether you get my point. But use the advantage to do this and develop this kind of infrastructure. Don't worry. Don't save for the next few years. That's what you call living word. It's not as if anytime there's a famine coming or abundance is coming, a famine is coming. No, that was what God did that time. You don't know what you want to do tomorrow. The living word, that's what he does. Listen, let's close. What are my assignments? Go and get your spiritual MBA. You can say, listen, it's 6 months, it's 1 year, or until I'm satisfied, get a book. I didn't get into what I wanted to do today. We'll get into it next time. I wanted to go in details into that warfare by prophecy. Well, maybe next time we'll go into it. We'll continue in it. Look at how we take scripture and decode wisdom. Because, listen, God gave us these promises. The Bible said these promises were given to us so that by them we'll partake of divine nature. That is, we can have God's wisdom by using his promises. I don't know where I get my point. A difficult situation comes up in your business. You look and say, The Bible says he has hidden sound wisdom for the upright. Father, in the name of Jesus, I receive that sound wisdom that you kept for me. Now you will see what God wants done in that situation. You can never find that in the business book. I'm watching my time. Please, let us go home. Let's bow down our heads and pray. Quick, let's just give thanks. That's what we're just going to do. Let's just give thanks. Let's say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, grant me my own spiritual MBA. Grant me my course content. Grant me the things I need to know, the things I need to do. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's rise up to our feet and share the grace. Father, we give you thanks for today. Everybody, just put up one hand or two, whichever as you wish. In the name of Jesus, the spirit of understanding is yours. Amen. Is yours in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wisdom to excel is yours in the name of Jesus. Amen. Wisdom for your salvation comes to you now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
You will run through a troop and leap over a wall.
Amen.
Because God will teach your hand to war.
Amen.
God will teach you what to do so as to succeed where others are failing.
Amen.
In that business you are doing now, there is a lesson that God wants you to learn. There is something new he wants you to do. It may not look reasonable. It may just be learning a particular kind of righteousness. Execute it and victory will come to you in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Father, we give you thanks. In Jesus' name we have prayed.
Amen.
Let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ. We have passed out from under the curse into the blessings. All things have passed away in our lives. We are now filled with the Spirit of Christ. We live above sin and walk above the devil because we are seated high above with Christ. This is our season of fruitfulness in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. One more time.